This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Howdy, hour number two. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney coming here for the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans financed the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you as well. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage easy. Hour number two here on the show. Hope everybody's okay. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Michael Irvin was great. All right, two quick things before we dive, you know, full steam into Mahomes. Updating, you know, let's see here, 52.9% of the ballots are in. Jeter still 100%, hundo. Larry Walker, 83.5%. And we've got Curt Schilling at 77.5%. Now,
isn't it anticlimactic that we know?
No, because I think it's going to actually change for at least one of those two men not named Derek Jeter. Now, if I had a vote, I would vote, obviously, Jeter. I would vote Walker, and I would definitely vote Schilling. But the way this usually goes, the people who abstain from putting in the results early, and the numbers validate this, the year before and the year before, generally and directly to Schilling and Walker, the numbers that are not made public generally, not generally, have gone drastically in the wrong direction. So somebody like Curt Schilling right now is 77.5%. I don't know. I don't think he should get shut out, but it wouldn't surprise me if he does.
Yeah, 60% he had last year.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
He's going to finish, you know, he's going to be north of 70, but that's going to be a challenge for him. So we'll see. It's a couple hours away, so we'll get the answer, and then we'll focus on it tomorrow. I know Santos reached out to a bunch of Hall of Famers. We'll lock somebody down, talk about that. The other thing, real quick here, because we had Michael Irvin on, and I start to tell Teak about this new, what Vegas is going to do for the draft here.
Mm-hmm.
So players are going to use boats, the stage will be over water, and the Bellagio fountains will be involved. Let's see.
How big is that fountain? I mean, I know it's big. I haven't been to Vegas in so long, so I forget how big that fountain is.
It's pretty big.
Bellagio? They have boats, like?
Well, I'm not saying Queen Elizabeth II is going to go hunting through there.
True, but I'm saying, like, a boat that's fitting in a fountain.
Yeah.
And I got to see this. I just got to visualize.
It's going to be wild.
Somebody's got to visualize this for us because I could honestly see it tipping.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Hopefully, that's balanced out. The league released its preliminary dates and plans for the 2020 draft here. Attracting more than 600,000 visitors to Nashville for the 2019 draft. The NFL has one-upped itself with a plan that includes one stage being set up over water, players being chauffeured around on boats, and one block of the strip being totally shut down to vehicle traffic over the course of the three-day event.
Yeah, that's
which runs. Yeah, no, but still, mighty... manipulation of traffic patterns.
Again, I haven't been to Vegas in well over.
When was the last time you were there? Exactly.
God, it probably feels like a decade ago.
Diesel, have you ever been to Vegas? He hasn't been to Vegas.
I remember getting around, especially in the evening. It was like impossible on the strip anyways. You'd always have to find the back streets in order to get around anywhere without sitting in traffic. So, I mean, it's going to be a pain to shut down the strip, but I don't think it'll be that bad.
Most people
walk anyways.
Who cares?
You know,
hopefully we'll be there again, and we'll just walk where we have to walk, and then we'll walk where we have to walk back home.
Mm-hmm.
Patty Mahomes. We care so much about legacy that just to kind of punt this forward and close my eyes and go 20 years down the road, he's got to win this game.
Well, so he's young. This is the issue. Like, there's many ways to carry this discussion.
Okay.
But regardless of how good you are in the regular season, even in the postseason, the Super Bowl is just a different animal. I've never obviously played quarterback, but I have played in a Super Bowl. And it's overwhelming, like the amount of attention. And Michael Irvin just gave players some tips and insight. It's not a normal game. Like, don't try to pretend it's a normal game. The media attention is vast. Like, I remember when we went in 2000, when we played the Ravens, I'm getting interviewed from people from Japan. There's like there's like interpreters like for these questions that are being, and I'm like, what in the hell is going on here? You know, and I've considered myself not worldly because I hadn't really traveled that much, but like aware of what's going on in the world. Now all of a sudden, like this mass hysteria is dropped on top of you, and every person that's ever been associated with you is either reaching out for congratulate you or like trying to get tickets to the game or whatever it is.
So and there was no texting back then.
No. So they're calling you. They're minimum. Like calling you, or your mom's calling you like, hey, you know, your aunt from, you know, I'm like, it's overwhelming. Yeah, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
And so like to get caught up in it is very easy. Like just get caught up in the overwhelming nature of it. And you end up not focusing. Mm-hmm. Like you end up not stop doing the things, the preparation and everything else that got you to where you are. And so the good coaches are the ones that are able to snap that in, right? Without being punitive, you know, without being like a father figure, be in your room where I'm going to, you know, spank you, right? Without being authoritative like that, they're able to, like, lead guys to do the right things throughout that chaos. And I think Andy Reid's got a good chance to do that. With that being said, Pat Mahomes is a star. He's the MVP in his first year starting. We know that the pressure is going to be on him. And history hasn't served young quarterbacks under 25 well. There's a couple of examples that come to mind. Dan Marino, who turned out to be one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, had a fantastic season the year he went to the Super Bowl. He threw for 5,000 yards. He was, you know, elite the first time it had ever happened. He dominated through the postseason, not dissimilar to Pat Mahomes in the postseason. Gets to the Super Bowl and then throws a couple interceptions, and they end up losing that game. He never goes back. Ben Roethlisberger is the only one of these young quarterbacks who won, but he played like crap in that Super Bowl.
That was terrible.
I think he rushed for a touchdown. I'm pretty sure he rushed for a touchdown, and that kind of helped them get an edge. But he played terrible in that Super Bowl. They won kind of in spite of him because their defense was so good. And so I know he's great, and people are going to look at his regular season last year, which won him an MVP. They're going to look at his regular season this year and postseason this year, even fighting through the dislocated knee. Think about that. He dislocated a knee.
And he hurt his ankle, too.
And he's in the Super Bowl, right?
Hurt his ankle, too.
It just tells you how tough he is.
In week one, he hurt
his
ankle.
So he's an awesome, awesome, awesome story.
Yeah.
But the Super Bowl is a different animal. That's what we just got to be aware of.
Okay.
And that's why, as much as I think I want Andy Reid, and I'm going to lean that way, it's hard not to see the 49ers, who are so buttoned up on both sides, having the edge.
I want to see Andy Reid. I'm like pretty much everybody. I said this on the show yesterday. My early gut, and it's a strong one, is the Niners are superior. I believe the Niners will win. I mean, now listen, we'll be in Miami. Can something change my mind? Maybe, perhaps. Yeah. But right now, I'm leaning heavily towards the 49ers. I just think that they're better. They're more stout. The other problem, too, is for Mahomes to get in a rhythm, you got to stop that run.
Yeah.
Kansas City's defense is better from week 10 forward, but it's nowhere near good enough, I don't think, to stop that run. I don't think that, and I know you're not implying this, but I don't think that Mahomes will be overwhelmed by the stage.
I don't think
based
he will.
It's not overwhelmed.
It's not being overwhelmed. It's just the stage is different. Like, it does something.
Well, then why wouldn't it impact Garoppolo?
It does something emotional.
He hasn't done anything.
Yeah, because he's older.
He's 27.
He's older, though. I mean, he's been in the league for a couple of years. He was a backup on a Super Bowl team. So
that's true. He was there. He did see the media horde, I guess.
You're right.
Yeah, but you know,
nobody
talked to him.
And the true.
I mean, but
the
offense
doesn't. But he watched, right?
Yeah.
You learn from observation. The offense doesn't run through him. You know, it's not like, hey, Jimmy, putting this on your shoulders. Good luck, dude.
Yep.
Kansas City's had no run game.
But don't you think that, like, if I'm Shanahan, I don't want to overthink this because my strength is my ability to shove it down your throat via the run. But don't you have to think that Shanahan, during the most, and he's involved in it now, like the rudimentary stages of the game plan, don't you think he's anticipating them stuffing the box and thinking that Garoppolo is going to come out and throw the ball a little bit to loosen them up?
Which he can, but I think you can't overthink. I think you got to do what you do, right, and let them stop you, and then make sure you have a plan B. Right, that's all. Often, what gets you in trouble, and I just be like clear back to my Super Bowl. That's what got us in trouble. Once we got stopped, we were running the ball, play action pass. We did it like fantastic for the end of the regular season. We get to the Super Bowl, even in the Minnesota game, in the championship game. We get to the Super Bowl, it's stuffed out. Plan B didn't work, right? And so
do you remember what Plan B was?
Yeah, it was to spread them out.
Yep.
Get into like basically our 2-minute offense, our hurry up offense. Call the plays from the line of scrimmage so they can't adjust on us. They adjusted anyways on us.
Talk about personnel or scheme or both.
Personnel was why we stayed in hurry up.
Yep.
Scheme was why we played fast.
Gotcha.
But they still did it. They didn't change their game plan despite the fact that we were in a hurry up and carry through four interceptions in the second half. So that was it. You got to have a great plan B. At the end of the day in the Super Bowl, you got to have a great plan B. Look at the New England Patriots. They got their doors blown off against the Atlanta Falcons 3 years ago.
28-3.
The plan B crushed them in the second half. I mean, it was amazing, right? You got to have a great plan
but
B.
But the Falcons also stopped running the ball, which kind of equated to plan B.
That's true.
Like, they handed them plan B.
They did.
I mean,
they did.
I hear you.
Right, we're going to go three and out. Yeah. You know what? We're going to go three and out for the next 30 minutes.
So to make it a little easier on you.
See if you guys can catch up.
I mean, come on. You know, the one thing about Mahomes, and I know we're in this microwave world of, you know, what is he going to be? Is he, you know, how many championships, how many yards, how many touchdowns, legacy? He's going to get paid, and he's going to get paid a lot of money, maybe 40 mil pretty soon.
A whole lot.
40 large.
Yeah.
So the ability to disperse the money around the roster is going to be handcuffed and severely compromised. And, you know, you're going to obviously keep Kelce.
Yep.
You know, but somebody like Watkins, he'll be expendable. You're going to have to probably move on from him. Yep. I mean, I don't even know that you'd really mind doing that, but the pieces that you don't rely on but incorporate and use – and are valued, they're going to be gone over the next 2-3 years slowly. And the rest of the league is going to get better. You know, let's see what happens with the Bills. You know, let's see what happens. The Dolphins, if they draft Tua and it becomes a superstar. Yeah. I mean, the Browns, if they get it right, they got a lot. I mean, there's just no guarantee.
When is his?
You got to win.
So he is on his, they picked up his fifth-year option, obviously, I think. Yeah. So his fifth-year option will be next year. But if they're smart, they'll do it now.
Like
they should do it right this second because.
But if Mahomes is smart, he shouldn't.
Of course not. He should wait until he pulls through his fifth year option. Yeah. Sees what that number is.
Exactly.
Let that be the base, and then plus 15%.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the cap is going up in a couple of years. But if I'm Kansas City, because of the threat that you just mentioned to the salary cap, like hell. Not that it's hell because he's amazing, but you know what I mean. They should do it. Like now, they should have probably done it after last season. He won the MVP. You know, you got your guy. Just pay him. You know what I mean? Because you're right. They're going to get caught. It's going to change.
Happen everybody.
It's going to change the dynamics of their roster construction.
And it didn't happen to the Pats that often because Brady kept taking team friendly deals.
Dude, he's making $15 million bucks.
Well, because Kraft said once you retire, I got $40 million. You know, $40 million in the well waiting.
You need the plane anytime.
Yeah, buddy. You need. We want to go with Giselle.
You need the apartment in the city anytime.
Hop on. You need a massage. It's going to be fascinating because again. You watch him, and there are – somebody tweeted me last night, what's the greatest spectacle right now in sport besides Mahomes? And I tweeted Doncic just because I love watching Doncic play. But we're at a very interesting stage where, you know, some of the young ascending players – you know, golf has a couple of the young superstars, tennis, Coco – why am I forgetting?
Golf,
Coco, God. I mean, it seems like there's this surge. You know, baseball has a multitude of young players. We could probably say this every generation, but this seems like a particularly fertile decade.
Yeah,
explosion of maybe all time greats.
Yeah, just to like encompass all the sports. BT, I think like everybody's aging out for whatever reason at the same time, right? All the everybody's aging out. Like the old guys are starting to retire and move
especially
on.
The quarterbacks
and the quarterbacks, and so they got to be replaced. And when you get a guy like Pat Mahomes replacing, you know. Not directly because those guys weren't with the Kansas City Chiefs, but like from a national standpoint, like the Tom Brady's of the world and the Eli's who are retiring, the Big Ben's getting old, Phillip Rivers, and now you get this kid that just jumps right in, wins an MVP in his first year starting. It's a good way to transition.
You know, and imagine if they were to lose, all right? And what is Patrick 24 now? 24 years of age? 24. And let's just say he doesn't get back for, hopefully not a Marino fate, but let's say it's a couple of years. And he's 28 going on 29. He's 29 or age 28 or 29 season. So he's knocking on the door 30. And I'm just thinking, you know, how we perceive the start of his career and position him against some of the all-time greats. If they lose, gets to his first Super Bowl and loses. And then he's almost 30 and he's been there one other time. Or he hasn't been there yet and the pressure really builds.
Yeah.
You know, it's never as easy. It's never as linear as we want to make it. It's just not easy.
No.
It's not. And you know this better than me because you tried your hardest to win a championship.
You're right.
It's not easy.
It doesn't happen. You get coach turnover. Not that Andy Reid is retiring anytime soon, but you never know.
Like
you get
turnover,
you get, you know.
A bad call, a fumble, bad weather, injury.
Injuries, you lose your offensive lineman, guys leaving free agency.
Yeah.
It just, all of a sudden your team changes just like that.
Yeah.
You're no longer Super Bowl viable.
1-855-212-4227. Curious if you view this Mahomes game through the same prism of urgency. Again, that, pertaining to legacy more so because, you know, of course, if they lose the game, comes back, goes to camp, and tries to win it again next year. But big picture, you know the conversations we engage in. You know what you write on social media. You know what the debate shows engage in. It is big picture stuff, and this is the first step of the big picture for Mahomes. Does he have to win? 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico, pardon me. Where the owner rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. So get a quote. Go to geico.com. Easy. Delonte West. Boy, that is a sad, sad story. The videos going around on social media this morning were horrifying. We're going to touch that in a little bit. Very, very rough night for the Lakers. That's an inbounds, out of bounds. That's coming up next segment.
Yep.
So, bounce around. And I saw this, too. Maybe we'll squeeze this into the third hour briefly. I just saw this during the last break. The Los Angeles, I don't want to get too far away from the football stuff, but I have to insert this here. I mean, this can't possibly work, can it? The L.A. City Council unanimously approved a resolution on Tuesday urging Major League Baseball to strip recent World Series championships from Astros and the Red Sox and award them to the Dodgers. The resolution, originally presented by council members Gil Cedillo, and Paul Kortz on Wednesday, notes the sign-stealing allegations brought against the 20 and implore Manfred to recall the World Series commissioner's trophies and award them to the L.A. Dodgers.
Mm.
There's no way that can actually work,
no,
can it?
It's not. Midterm election's coming up, you know, so it is what it is.
Getting a little further equity in
exactly.
the voting
he
polls.
He really loves us.
That's right.
He's fighting for our interest.
You have probably never heard of Fernando Valenzuela,
exactly.
Never heard of Ron Say, doesn't know who Drysdale is, doesn't know who Kenny Landro is.
Do you know who owns the Dodgers?
Who?
Exactly.
Oh, this is about the Lakers. Oh, the Dodgers. Oh, yeah, Dodgers. So I think that, you know, I almost don't want to even get too far into the game because, God, we've got almost 2 weeks to do this.
It's fine, though.
Yeah.
People are going to talk about this game every day for 2 weeks.
But I want to drop this on you real quick.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how sustainable a running attack is like Shanahan has. You know, can he really do this for 4 or 5 years? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not saying no, but I don't know. Schematically, it's very original. It's very hard to read. They've got multiple interchangeable parts. We know that. So right now, it's a coup.
Yep.
But don't you just think that if things go awry to their game plan compared to things going awry possibly to the Chiefs' game plan, that the Niners just have more answers all across the board?
Yeah, they can rely on their defense to get stops. The Kansas City Chiefs can't do that. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs can. I mean, Frank Clark was one of the great pickups in the offseason for Kansas City, and I think they re-signed him too right after the trade. So, I mean, he was great for them, but it's not dominant like the Bosas and the front seven. I'm forgetting
the other guy,
Buckner and Armstead.
Yep.
Kansas, San Francisco's front is amazing. So they can rely on the other aspects of the game where Kansas City cannot. I think the bigger story, like if we want to look at like the Kansas City Chiefs side, there's two big issues. One, Andy Reid's got to win a Super Bowl at some point. He's just too good of a coach not to, right? The greatest coach not to have won a Super Bowl. That's where he falls right now. I hate to say that but it is.
Who's second? Marv Levy?
Probably Marv, because he went four times. I forget who the coach of the Vikings was, but that was
That was in the 70s, the Purple League. Grant, Coach Grant.
Yeah, exactly. But that was
Grant.
That was generations ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's probably Marv, who got there four times and obviously lost from 91 to 94. But Andy Reid has been great. And so that's one story. The Pat Mahomes conversation that we just talked about. The by committee, and I don't mean this by, you know, individual stars, but just by San Francisco, they win by every method, right? Whether it's playing a great defense and getting turnovers, Richard Sherman making some plays, or the front four or seven that we talked about, or Jimmy Garoppolo having a day, like scoring 51 against the Saints, or rushing for 250 yards like they did last week
bringing
in the championship game.
Drett and Debo.
That's one. The other side is Kyle Shanahan as BT just mentioned, Kyle Shanahan has brought innovation and all this motion pre-snap. It's motion for the perception of complexity, even though it's really not that complex, but it makes you think as a defense, the same thing that Sean McVay was doing. But let's also not forget, he's got a history, and maybe we don't pin it to him because Dan Quinn was the head coach, but Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons when they did absolutely nothing in that aforementioned game we were talking about against the New England Patriots. They just got non-aggressive. Like the whole season.
And he's admitted it, too.
Exactly.
He doesn't
run from it. The whole season, they were aggressive as hell.
Yeah.
Right? Let's get innovation. Let's move. Let's spread things out. Let's get the ball to our playmakers. Second half of that Pats game 3 years ago, he was just kind of like, I'll just three and out. Let's hand it off. All right, go get a first down. Oh, shucks, we didn't get a first down. All right, we got a punt. Here come the Pats, right? And so you know he's learning from that experience. You know he's going to be aggressive should this game get into a shootout in some extent. And so I think how he reacts in the moment is going to be really interesting. He's a play-calling head coach, which we have kind of started to champion as not being the right thing. It works for him. And so he's got a lot of pressure. I mean, if there's one other person, not even one other, I think the most pressure might be on him.
No, it's Andy Reid.
I'm not talking about to win. I'm talking about, like, in game. Like, you got to make the play to find us a way to get an advantage. I think it's on Kyle Shanahan. Andy Reid knows his thing.
Like, but game management, he doesn't. He's bad.
He has been.
He's got to prove that. He's got to slay that demon.
But that's less tangible. I mean,
is it really though? Clock down and distance.
Yeah,
you know something's going to pop up. He's got to handle it well.
A little bit.
He's got to.
A little bit. But I think less so than Kyle Shanahan's.
I don't know if I agree on that, but it doesn't really matter. We got enough time to flush through it. Let me throw this at you, because this would worry me.
About
Shanahan.
Okay.
I don't know if this comes to fruition, but at least it's food for thought. Let's kick it around for a minute or so. If I just know, you know, how my mind works, not comparing myself to an NFL coach, but if there was like a glaring absence or a glaring hole or a glaring moment in my career and I had a chance to get a redo, I would lose sleep. I would carry it every moment of the day, and it would serve as fuel to get it right the next time.
Yeah.
However, that fuel can betray you. Because you could be so fixated. I'm throwing more of a question. Can you be so fixated on correcting what went awry a few years ago and ignore stuff downfield via the passing game, even though it's in front of you, because you want to silence those people who said you forgot to, you know,
and you didn't run
them. You know what I'm saying?
That's why you got to forget it. It's hard.
That's hard.
Because it's gonna
he keeps talking about it. He admits it.
Of course.
I give him credit for.
And it's going to get.
Don't forget it when you keep talking about it.
And it's going to get thrown in his face on that Tuesday of media day. They're going to talk about, hey, the last time you were here, coach, you know, this happened. How are you going to alleviate that? How are you going to not let that happen again? And it's like you constantly got to think about it, even though you don't want to think about it.
This is just further making my point, by the way. You can't get away from it.
But he does have a father for a head coach who can lend him a ton of advice.
Yeah, but he had a father for a head coach last time that happened,
true,
too.
True, but he wasn't the head coach.
That's true.
He was the assistant coach.
That's true. That is true. Both very likable people.
Yeah, dude.
Everybody loves Andy, but I like Kyle Shanahan quite a bit.
This is one of those Super Bowls. There's no villain.
No, there's not.
It doesn't happen often, but there's no villain in this one. Like, you kind of are rooting for both in a sense. If you're agnostic, I mean, you don't care, and you don't have a dog in the fight.
Yep.
It's going to be a great. I hope it's a great Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm looking forward.
I think
to it
will be.
I don't disagree with that. We got, you know, two relative stinkers in the conference championship. I said this on Monday. I said this yesterday, but the last year. I mean, we had two overtime games, and then the Super Bowl was horrendous.
Yeah.
So maybe we get the antithesis this year. Obviously, we had to grind through a rough conference championship Sunday, but maybe the payoff down the road for the Super Bowl will really pop. All right, we've got inbounds, out of bounds coming up after Rack's update. Let's see what we got on the old menu here. A little here. Oh, possible rules change, onside's kick that they're experimenting with in the NFL. A little something on the Lakers getting waxed by the Celtics last night. Also, Nolan Arenado, one of baseball's best players, saying basically, get me out of here. So we got a lot to hit, which we will at the Rax update, which is right now. Rich.
Hey, this weekend, CBS's coverage of the PGA Tour season begins. Okay, golf is back. Love it. Pretty sick field as well. Tiger's there. Rory, Phil, Torrey Pines.
Tiger Woods.
There it is. Sweet backdrop. Obviously, great cast of players. Jim Nantz on the call. Going to be awesome. The Farmers Insurance Open coverage begins 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific on Saturday and Sunday. The PGA Tour is on CBS. And now I officially start weaving something else back into my life. Golf.
Golf, yeah. It's true.
It's been happening
for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but I can't get, Hawaii. Yeah. You know, I'll see who won. But now I actually start sitting down and watching for chunks.
That's right. By the way, we have a guarantee. Mm. Joe Montana on Twitter.
Yeah, what did Joe say?
Put out a guarantee that his team would win the Super Bowl.
Ah, there you go. Of course, he played for both. So, Joe non-committal.
Yeah.
Come on, Joe, take a stand.
I was doing a dig into the history of the Super Bowl. And like, not that you forget, but I like to go back and read history sometimes as we come to this point. But like, Joe Namath's guarantee is epic for so many reasons. Obviously, it's the only one that the Jets won. But at the time, and I don't know if I like conceptualize this until I just read it, like, I don't know, 8 hours ago, 6 hours ago.
Okay.
When the merger happened, right, they agreed upon the merger in 66. It happened in 70.
Yep.
And so they started playing Super Bowls. It was like the Chiefs and the Packers. And the Packers dominated. They won the two in a row. That's why the Lombardi Trophy is called the Lombardi Trophy.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a while, it was like, dude, this AFL, meaning the American Football League, before the merger, they're never going to win a Super Bowl, right? The NFL is just significantly better. And then Joe Namath guarantees that they're going to win, and they actually win.
16-point dogs,
right?
Too.
As an AFL team, they win by 9 points. It legitimized this coming merger.
No doubt.
And then all of a sudden, Super Bowl IV happens, and that's the Chiefs. That was when the Chiefs beat the – I forgot who they played.
I guess it would have been the Vikings, I think.
I think you're right.
It was the Vikings.
I think it was the Vikings.
Double check.
So,
Vikings? Yep. Raiders? Yep. I think it was the Vikings.
Yep. And then the merger happened then in the 70s and 80s, and we all know where the NFL is. But Joe Namath holds this place in lore.
Of course.
Because in some ways, not only did he guarantee the Super Bowl and the Jets won it, but he legitimized the merger.
No doubt about
so,
it. No doubt. Now, I'm sure even if they would have gotten waxed in that game, somebody else would have eventually broken through.
But the
longer that separation continues, it's like, ooh, did we make the right decision?
Exactly.
No doubt. One of the real pivotal moments in football history, for sure. All right, T, you ready for a little inbounds, out of bounds?
Let's
see what
we
got. Come on, D-Cell, what you got, buddy?
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
The Pro Bowl kicks off on Sunday, which I won't watch a second of. I'm just not watching it. As in years past, the NFL All-Star Game will not have kickoffs in an effort to reduce injuries.
However, the over.
Not as much lately.
That's a good point. They actually started playing the last couple of years.
That used to be a lot. We've gotten some bad weather in Orlando, some low score. I haven't even touched that game from that aspect in a couple of years. Good, because I would have always taken the over. This year, the Pro Bowl will adopt the AAF's onside kick rule. So after a score, teams will be given two options. First, you can give the ball back to the opposition, which would start from its own 25-yard line and try an onside play in which the scoring team has one play. This is too wacky. To gain 15 or more yards to retain possession. This season, just 6% of onside kicks were successful after the new rules prohibited players from getting the running start on kickoffs to obviously avoid injuries or curtail injuries for sure.
Yep.
Which is down from 21.5% in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Huge drop. In or out. The NFL should adopt the new onside play and eliminate the onside kick.
I would say inbounds at this, BT. First of all, I think you need to get rid of the kickoff because it's a pointless play anymore. Half of them are kicked out of the end zone. And even when they do return them, they get back to like the 18-yard line.
I know.
You know what I mean? The kickers now kick the ball so high.
Yeah.
The hang time, despite the fact the coverage team can't get a running start, there's no return. There's never returns anymore.
Yeah, very, very rare. Windy conditions, maybe.
Exactly.
Desperation.
Exactly.
I hear you.
It's mostly out of the end zone.
It's a waste of time.
You won't miss it. The one AAF game that I did, I didn't miss it at all. I thought it was great not getting rid of the kickoff. But the onside proposal, I think, is interesting. You make it a 4th and 15, and it forces innovation in play calling and design to pick up a 4th and 15. And so I kind of like it. I think it makes it a lot more interesting. And if you miss it, it's very punitive. That's true.
So it really taps into the strategy and the risk factor, risk reward. Maybe I'll warm up to this another year or two. I'm not there yet. I'm going to say out of bounds. I appreciate creativity. It's an innovative thought. Obviously, something needs to change at some point, yeah, relatively soon. Still know that this is it. Because, like, you know, if you're the inferior team and you are you're overachieving a specific game.
Yeah, yeah.
But the team that you're playing, you know, has one of the best defenses in the NFL. Yeah, special teams become so marginalized. This is now more about offense versus defense. That seems a little too radical for me. I'm not saying that something doesn't have to change. It does. I just don't know. Like, if I'm the commissioner and this comes across my desk, I can't co-sign this and implement this yet. The rules committee as well. I'll say out of bounds. Open mind, open ear, open eyes, but not yet. Out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teague. Last night, the West-leading Lakers were crushed, absolutely waxed by the Celtics. Kemba Walker finally beat LeBron. What was he, 0-14? I think it was something crazy. So they scored, they lost by 32 in Boston. Anthony Davis was back, didn't play a ton, didn't play particularly well. He missed a couple of weeks with the back issue when against the Knicks when he went up and he fell right on his back. He's played 23 minutes. So L.A. now 34-9 on the season. Earlier in the day, the Sixers beat the Nets thanks to 34 and a triple-double from Ben Simmons. Now there's rumors swirling that the Lakers and the Sixers are the front runners, all right, for a player that has not even very quietly, just very positively gotten his career back. That's Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose is a pretty damn good player again. In or out, the Lakers do need to add Rose more so than Philly.
I'm going
to
say out of bounds. By the way, it was 0-28.
0-28?
That he was against LeBron.
Is that much?
0-28. I was like, dude, how many years was that?
Still.
I know.
Wow. Geez. I thought it was 0-12. Okay.
But I'm going to say out of bounds. I think Philly needs them more than the Lakers because Philly, despite you know, the triple-double that Ben Simmons had the other night, what do you have, 32 and 11 and 11 or something like that?
34. 12,
34. It was epic, and he was very efficient. I think he only missed three shots in that game.
Yep.
They need another scorer, right? They need another creator, a self-creator, and I think Derrick Rose is that guy. I think the L.A. Lakers, even if they don't get another piece, they're gonna be fine. Like, they got blown out this yesterday, but I think a lot of that is just reintegrating Anthony Davis back into this offense because they functioned so effectively without him. What, they win like 9 in a row? Like 10 of the last 11? So I'm going to say out of bounds. I think Philly needs to score more.
See, I don't fixate on the word scorer. I focus on the word that's not here. That's shooter.
Yeah, sniper.
I mean, so let's just say it's Philly. My answer is out of bounds. I actually think that the Lakers, well, I mean, listen, if he went to the Lakers, he'd help them a little bit for sure.
He's going
to
help wherever
he's going to help wherever he goes. But I just don't see, I think that, like, logistically on the court, it would probably be an easier transition to the Lakers. If you have Embiid, if you have Simmons, if you have Rose, I mean, especially with Simmons and Rose, that's a lot of, you know, that's two guys who need the ball.
Yeah.
Derrick Rose is not a good shooter. He's still not. He's
getting Brett Brown some credit, though. That 34-point game that Ben Simmons had, he played everywhere. He played the five a little bit.
But that's not going to happen when Embiid is there.
True. It's out of necessity.
Sure. I mean, it sounds good, and he's diverse in terms of talents and positional versatility, but you get into the playoffs here, you know, and you're not playing teams that are on pace for 28 wins or 32 wins, and, you know, you get past the first round and you beat the 7 or the 8 seed. Now you got teams that know how to play defense. Spacing's an issue. I actually picked Philly to get to the NBA Finals before the season started. I'm disappointed in how they've progressed. I thought that Simmons, you know, and his coach even said, I want you to take at least 1-3 a game. I don't care if you clank it or throw up an air ball.
He's not.
He's not doing it since he hit the 1-3 against the Knicks. He's only attempted 4 or 5. It's ridiculous. So I think spacing is a real issue. I don't think that Derrick Rose would solve either situation for either team. I really don't.
Are you in or are you out?
I'd almost prefer to see Derrick Rose go, like, to the Clippers. Now, that, I think, could change things a little bit. But, you know, it's not rumored to happen. All right, how about this, T? Just when we thought the big name player movement in baseball was over, this is a big one. I mean, I know it's the Colorado Rockies, not centrally on everybody's mind or tongue, but Nolan Arenado is one of the absolute best baseball players I've seen in a long time. He picks it, he hits bombs, he is absolutely clutch. Nolan Arenado is phenomenal, and he's not happy with the team. He told MLB.com that he's upset, quote, with a lot of disrespect from people that I don't want to be a part of. That's pretty direct. There's nothing to interpret there. He wants out. Arenado is reportedly irked by the team's lack of activity in bringing talent around them. As we know, he signed a monster 8-year, $260 million contract a year ago that goes through 2026. I mean, he's played 7 years. He's very close. I mean, one more big year, he's knocking on the door for 1,000 RBIs. Yeah. I mean, he is a superstar. In or out? At this point, the Rockies must trade Arenado.
I'm going to say out of bounds of that. I don't think they have to do anything. I understand that it feels like it's getting untenable, but they can't. I can't co-sign that. Get rid of your best player. I think one of the financial prudence of signing some guys that would make them viable is probably not in the cards. And so you got to kind of hope that, you know, others want to gravitate there for a lesser number. And that's not necessarily going to happen in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think just getting rid of Nolan Arenado is going to solve their problems just because he's
unhappy. No, it amplify their problems.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
He's one of the best of the game.
Exactly. So out of bounds.
Easy one for me, too. Out of bounds here. You know, listen, certain players you have to trade when you are, you know, at that pivotal point. It's either going left and you're staying, or you're not going to resign, and we got to get something for you before you walk out the door and we're empty-handed like Anthony Davis.
That's right.
We see this in the NBA all the time. Maybe Carl Anthony Towns gets it, even though he signed, but maybe a year or two down the road, if he stays put, maybe he has a power play there. Happens all the time. Nolan Arenado just signed an 8-year contract, so where's he going?
Not going anywhere.
He's not going. So if he doesn't show up and play, they could fine him, and he's going to lose money. So, no. And by now, what I do think that this weakens their ability to get, you know, 100 cents on the dollar. I think that because it's so obvious he wants out, and I do think it's becoming untenable. I would use that word as well. But it decreases the leverage for the Rockies. This is, as much as I love Arenado, it's kind of a classless move. You do this behind the scenes. Maybe classless isn't the right word, but it's not professional. Do this behind the scenes. Have your agent tell them he's out. I mean, he doesn't want to play here anymore. Go out there and get the best package you can and get rid of him because he wants out. But to do this publicly, it really handcuffs the Rockies, which inevitably handcuffs Arenado and his ability to get out. So he's actually hurting himself.
Yeah, you're cutting your nose off. A little bit. Face.
Yeah, a little bit.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, three teams looking for skippers as the Mets, the Red Sox, and the Astros deal with the fallout from the sign-stealing scandal that rocked baseball. Now, yesterday, former Giants, Cubs, Reds, and that skipper, Dusty Baker, interviewed with the Astros and is receiving interest from the Mets as well. Dusty expressed his excitement for the opportunity after he arrived in Houston.
I'm excited and, I'm full of emotion and, got a lot of roots here. So I've been coming to Houston for a long, long time and, I've always liked it. You know, I mean, they got a good team. I mean, they've always had a good team and I've always enjoyed watching them play and, it'd be a privilege and an honor to, to be the manager of this team.
All right. Dusty, you got a big Dusty Baker fan. Reports also say that former Rangers manager Jeff Banister and ESPN analyst Eduardo Perez, who already interviewed with the Mets, and he was on the carousel of interviews before, they're also candidates in Houston, too, Tiki. So, in or out, Dusty Baker would be the right fit to lead the Astros after the controversy.
I'm going to say inbounds because he's old school and he's stabilizing and he's a really good manager. So I forget his last 4 years. He won over 90 games, both with the Reds. And he took, I think he had a year off in between the Reds and the Nats. And then he won 91 and then 95 games with the Nationals. So I think absolutely he can be a viable manager, skip. Even if it's just a bridge guy, because he is 70 years old, but he doesn't present as 70.
Like, no.
He's got the vigor. You see him. You watch that interview. It was a live interview. It wasn't just audio. You watch it. Like he's
bouncy.
Yeah, he's bouncy. And I think that's necessary for this era of player and for a team that's going through a lot of you-know-what right now. I think he's a good stabilizing force for this.
Couldn't agree more. This one's very easy. Dusty Baker's a great baseball man. He's managed in all sorts of different cities, and we ran through the list, different payrolls, different expectations, different history. He played for a long time, was a good player. So you insert him into this situation in Houston, and he'll defuse it because, he's a guy who brings a ton of equity through the door.
Not going to stutter for words.
No, exactly. He tackle it head on. Hey, I wasn't here. It's a new season. Let's move on. Yep. It is what it is. Inbounds. I think I'm a big fan of Dusty Baker. Big fan.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Better hustle, though, because it looks like Mets new ownership is starting to maybe send some signals down to current ownership that, you know, I don't want a first-year skipper here.
Yeah, agreed.
So maybe the Mets might want Dusty Baker as well.
I feel like, didn't he say something also, like, whoever first come, first serve, something like that.
Dusty's no dummy.
Hey,
open for business. Give me a contract.
Right.
We're good to go. Third hour coming up. Tiki and Tierney, 855-212-4227. Delonte West, that is frightening stuff. Also, LeBron's son for the rough night. We'll hit those two stories coming up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.